Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
All right. You can remain seated just for a moment. I just wanted to give you kind of a little update on the concert we're having here in a couple of weeks. You know, I know what our New Song tendency is to wait till the last minute to do things. I would recommend do not wait till the last minute to buy your tickets, because at this particular point, we have a particular limit of what we can do in this room, and when it gets to that point, it's like, nobody else can play. So just wanted to say that. I mean, not that we're that famous, but just in case. They'll be out in the foyer. You can get your tickets as far as that's concerned. So I think we'll have a good response to that, and God's going to do some great things. Okay, you can be standing today. Guess what? This is the last day in Psalm 119. I'm kind of worried about this, because now what do I preach? But there's these last eight verses, and there's some things that God's going to talk to us about, and then we'll go into Romans and talk about it a little bit. But I'm going to read my verse and read the responding verses, starting at verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts.
I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my
delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. In Romans 8:15. I'll read this verse. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Verse 25, we'll read together. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for the first. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today we're going to talk about sheep that wander. We're going to talk today about the whole idea that this whole psalm ends up with the idea of the Lord rescue your sheep. Lord, seek after the one who's fallen away. Lord, we'll leave here with even an assignment of what we should do for the person that would stray away. After knowing your word is so powerful and it furnishes all we need, somehow, Lord, we just get sidetracked and off on the wrong track. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, today you'll restore people to your house. You'll restore people to the fold. Lord, you'll cause people to want to come back to the place where they really belong, where they've been adopted as sons and daughters and they belong in the family. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. We'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. I want you to shout out the best amen you can.
Amen!
God bless you. I knew you can be seated. James, I knew I could depend on you. James won't get it done. Well, what about this? Psalm 119, we went through this whole thing, and somebody said, are we ever going to get through this? It's not getting through this. I hope that the Lord has deposited some great things in your life, but consider this. The most important thing that we should give us hope is the promise. And the Hebrew word for that is imrah, which means something spoken with authority to fulfill it. Ever had an empty promise? Oh, I'll be over there around 10. Oh, I'll take care of that before I... And it's just an empty promise. And sometimes you know when they say it, it's not going to happen. Come on, be real about it. So you don't even let your hopes get to that particular point. But God is different than that. And so the idea behind it is that there's something that we can look forward to. Well, it says, that is contained in the Word of God. Our seemingly constant straying from the Word of God must find comfort in the knowledge that Jesus has defined himself as the shepherd of his sheep. And his desire will be to always seek those who have strayed from the fold. I'm not going to ask you how many of you strayed, because that'd be everybody. But I will tell you this much. Jesus will hunt you down. The Holy Spirit will hunt you down. And we're going to talk about that today, because it's interesting, after we get through all these scriptures about, you know, your precepts, your examples, and this type of thing, and then the last thing he says, Lord, seek after me. I'm a straying sheep. I'm thinking, really? After all this? Let's look at it from a practical standpoint. Number one, have you found peaceful assurance in Jesus' love for you when he has sought you out and rescued you from your constant straying? That God didn't give up on you. Or what about this portion? Do you struggle with trying to comprehend the faithfulness of the Lord committed to you in spite of your inconsistent behavior? Because I know many of us have had friends that we find said, oh, I'm done. I am so done with them. And we walk away. But Jesus hasn't walked away from you. But the third thing is probably kind of wraps it all together. Says, is have you, can you embrace the power of the Holy Spirit that will pursue you when you feel the least worthy to be sought after? You know, that's a tough one. Because in this room today, there are several people, I don't know how many, but several, that the Holy Spirit has been pursuing you even this week. Maybe this morning, maybe you weren't even planning on coming to church today, but there's something within you that says, you know, you better go. I want to tell you, that was Jesus. Amen. You couldn't make it here in your own strength, but somehow you were drawn to him. You were drawn to this. I want you to pay close attention, because you'll get a chance to respond in a few moments. Well, what about this? The Word of God will pursue those who wander like lost sheep. Psalm 119, 176, we'll read it again. It says, For I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, I like that word, like the word in there, like. Repeat after me. Sheep are dumb. They're really dumb. There's no reason for them to stray away, because usually in the sheepfold, everything's provided for. He takes them to, you know, green pastures, sets up the little compound so the wolves can't get after them, and has things to ward off all the various enemies. But he says, but this is the last word. He says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And this is the next word. He's got the gall, the unmitigated gall, to say, seek your servant. You know, I got a question for you. Why? You're the one left. Excuse me. He's like, I'm going to leave, but would you come after me? Really? And he finishes up and he says, for I do not forget your commandments. Then the dichotomous situation is this. If you don't forget his commandments, what you doing out there? I need to answer that question for all of us. And so that's why we're pursuing this particular scripture. And here's a couple of things you need to bear in mind. The Holy Spirit will constantly pursue those whom Jesus has died for. Every single person in this room, Jesus died for you. Now, someday you may not act like it, but that doesn't change the reality. And the reality of this is we must live in the constant awareness of the frailty of our weaknesses and our tendency to wander away from the truth. The exchange, that many times it will accept the fact that, you know, I've seen this happen with a young lady or a young man. I'm not going to be sexist about this. they're pursuing a particular person that really doesn't like them. I know you never did that. They changed their hair color, they changed all this stuff, they lost 20 pounds and everything, so he'll like them. And he never does. And they feel like they're changing everything just to make that person like them. Do you know what? Jesus loves you just as you are right Amen. Now. You don't have to change anything about your physiology is for him to love you. He's already done and paid for you on the cross. So that being the case, then what about this? Our constant straying is fueled by the war within that is waged by our flesh, which means leads to this. Our frequent straying is captured by the accurately by the picture of sheep who wanders away from the very one who will protect them. Sheep compound. Shepherd takes care of you. And when he's not looking, I'm going over here. This grass look really, it's green and that stuff over there. Them dumb sheep over there. I got some good grass over here. Huh? I'll unwrap that for you because here's what happens. Jesus sees us worthy of worth pursuing. Jeremiah 3:14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you, and I will take you, one from a city, two from a family, and bring you to Zion. I remember back in my days in church, early days in church, backsliders. Anybody need a definition of a backslider? Or do you have that? It's kind of a descriptive word, backsliding. You're going forward and you go back to where you once were. Backsliding. Got the graph? Good. We can move on. You were once here, but you went back here. But this is where you belong, but this is where you are. Well, that being the case, the Lord is a true shepherd, and his constant concern and care for us was decided once and for all when he gave his life on the cross. Now, disappointment or disillusionment is one of the things we all face, and somehow we equate that to our salvation, and that's not a good thing to do. Because if Jesus finished the works on the cross and we backslide from what he's done, then what's going to keep us, what hope do we have? In these next few moments, or actually throughout this message, it is my desire to put in you not only the concept, but the reality that Jesus, when he seeks the backslider, it's because he loves you. He wants you. And embracing you, he says, when we ask the Lord to seek us, we are aware that we are often blinded by our choices that have led us away from the Lord. Ever left something behind and wish you hadn't done it? Say yes. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. That was the best thing that ever happened to me, and I just walked away. Well, I'll give you one part of it. Part of it is deception. The other part of it, are you ready for this? Greed. Thought you'd get a better deal, walked away from this, and now you got nothing. Let's work on your zero mentality. All of us constantly stray from the Lord. This Isaiah 53:6 is a scripture that probably you don't want to read, but this is what it says. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. I don't think that needs to be redefined or scripted to you, but consider these words. Our constant straying occurs when we take our eyes off the Lord. Does that surprise you? He said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Oh, really? How do we turn our eyes off of Jesus? Because something's flickering over here. And the world is a master at getting our attention. There is a phenomenon. Well, it's not really a phenomenon. It's just a reality right now. The attention span of everybody in this room. You are not an exclusive. Oh, my attention span is yes. Because some of you, since you have been in this room, have taken out your cell phone and have been playing with it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know you're here. And you thought the world had changed, or something you need to find out on, you know, on Google, that you couldn't wait for another 30 minutes. You have more confidence in your phone than you have in Jesus. Ooh, I know that hurt. And you know what? It was supposed to. Okay, you got more confidence in your phone than you have in Jesus. He told me to say it again. I'm just trying to. When we put our focus on things that are temporal and for the moment. Okay, here's another part of it. Ever lost your cell phone? What'd you do? He said, no big deal. I don't really need that old thing anyway. Some of you feel like you lost your child. I'm serious. Where did I go? He got out of my pocket at the mall. You have driven around Portland to find your cell phone. But you won't go across the street to talk to your neighbor about Jesus. Amen. I knew it was going to get rough. I'm coming back to that later, okay? We often do not discover how far we have strayed because we have focused on all the wrong things. Ever get further down the road and you say, oh, wow, how did I get down here? Because you're focused on something else. And I know sometimes when you're riding in a car, somebody else is doing the driving. And so you're basically, you know, doing whatever. Oh, we get here so quick. Because your focus was on something else. Well, listen to this. This is a parable that you'll find important. Jesus spoke the parable of the lost sheep as an example of his heart for those who stray away. Now, this is before Jesus dies, but this is how it goes. It says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness? That's important for you to hold on to that wilderness piece. And go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Next verse, please. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. And I say to you, that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Whoa. This looks like the most simplistic example that Jesus has used. But it's not as simple as you think. Because if you look at from an economic standpoint or ideology, you're going to leave 99 sheep vulnerable in the wilderness and go after a knucklehead. That don't make sense. And if you take it from that particular standpoint, you know, because some of you are like, oh, well, at least I got 99. Forget the one. But Jesus doesn't think like you think. No, I need to let that marinate into you. Your theology of the way that you think is, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. But Jesus values your soul so much that he's going to pursue you. And unpacking that, it's a pretty amazing thing because he says, the emphasis of the focus on the one straying sheep should remind us of how important we are to the Lord. But what about this? Our value system is totally different than the Lord's. There are people that have been a part of this church, you've written them off. Oh, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. Yeah, that's too bad. And you just kind of move on. You don't care. Give them a phone call. Nah. They probably found something better. Or, you know, how some people just kind of struggle. I'm moving on with my life. I got my own issues. That is the mentality of people in churches, and that's the reason why the body of Christ struggles today. Oh, it's going to get worse because I got more to talk about that, but that's kind of the intro. Get ready. Okay. But the deal is this. The way that God does this is the main point of the lesson is not which is the greater risk or the greater loss. But Jesus counts every sheep. I would not interview all of you But I do know this. There are several people in this room that feel unworthy of God's love, and it's based upon what you either you've done or you haven't done. But I want to let you know the reward system is not on the table today. It's Jesus' love that's before you. You'll never do enough. You'll never say enough. You'll never be enough for Jesus to rescue you. He's already done that, knowing all the things that you're into at this moment. And that being the situation when David says, oh, Lord, please seek after me. He says, I am too dumb to do this on my own. Please seek me when I'm going to do the inevitable or the straying piece. Well, it goes like this. When we must analyze things in the light of the principles of the kingdom, the first thing we'll arrive at is Jesus doesn't set you up into little categories. These are the good sheep. These are the mediocre. These are the dumbbells. We lose a dumbbell, no big deal. Mediocre, maybe. Oh boy, but some of those really ones, we got to go after that one. And that's how we do it in the body of Christ. Oh, just I said, oh, Pastor, we're not like that. Yes, we are. We're picky. And some people, we'll never miss them because we never liked them. Oh, it's going to get deep. Watch me, watch me. There's no preference, but here's the part that is really amazing about when the psalmist says, Lord, seek after me. Is the 99, they're over here, but he's going to find the one that's lost. I don't know what pictures you've seen of this. They used to have some in the Christian bookstore, and Jesus got the lamb across his shoulders. Anybody seen that picture? Jesus with the lamb across his shoulders? The rest of you are totally unholy people. You have not seen the lamb across the... Oh, dear God. Got a bunch of heathens in here. With the shepherd's staff in one hand and the lamb over his shoulders. Come on, get the picture. Well, I tell you, I don't know how you got saved. But he's carrying the sheep. And the inference of the picture is, and it's not theologically correct, because it looks like the sheep's got his legs kind of toe up. A little bleeding going on, so he can't walk, so Jesus is carrying him. Now, see, that's something we added on. Now, if it was me going after the sheep and I finally found him, I'd take my cane and I'd help him back to the fold. I done looked for you all day long. Here you are over eating all this grass. Everybody's over there listening. Everybody at home working for some knucklehead like you. Okay. I got it out. I'm good. But he will seek us out in places where we got lost. I want to be very careful how I depict this. But the lowest place you've ever gone, and I don't even want to mention some of the lower places. I don't want to defract your mind. But the lowest place you've ever been or the lowest thing you've ever done is not too low for Jesus to come get you. Amen. Maybe I kind of washed it a little bit by saying, you could have been so high on a particular drug or opiate or whatever it happened to be that you didn't even want to come down. But Jesus can walk in the room. And if you can turn your eyes on Jesus, something about him is able to take you away from the addiction to the place of where he is, because the power of his miraculous presence can detoxify you from all the things in the world and renew your hope in Jesus and Jesus alone. Come on, give the Lord a hand for that. He can do it. Oh, yes, he can. Well, yeah. But in his kingdom, everyone should seek out for each other, even if it means putting their own lives in danger. Now, this is one part, concept I got. I was doing a little studying, and I found out a little bit about sheep. Sheep went in a sheepfold. They really like each other. And when one sheep happens to go out from the midst, they're concerned about that one sheep. I don't know all the, you know, I mean, I haven't done a total sheep study, so I don't know the psychology behind it. And I'm not going to do it, so. But I'm taking somebody's word for it, or a person who was actually a sheep herder. And they say that the sheep aren't the same when one's missing. But I asked the Lord a question. Why are we the same when people are missing? Why doesn't it affect us in the same way it affects Jesus? Because remember, the same spirit that's in Jesus is in us. The same caring in Jesus has been deposited in us. Then what is the disconnect between us and seeking after others who have been lost and be able to intercede for them? I'm going to let you marinate on that for a little while. We'll cash the check later on. But that's something for you to consider. I've got to move on to a couple other concepts and I'll be done. Well, what about this? Well, we trust Jesus to bring the lost sheep back, one back to the fold. Yes, all on him. Well, Jesus will seek the one who fails or who falls when trying to do what is right. Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 19. This is good. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. For what I hate, that I do. Anybody feel like that sometimes? The rest of you are a little shaky, okay? Thank you, for James, for speaking for all of us. That's good. Even then, I do not do what I do. I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. And some of you get really upset when you hear that. I thought Jesus saved me, and there's sin still in me? What's wrong with this? This thing isn't working. It's like a detergent that didn't work. Still got spots. Give me some bleach, a little Purex, a little Clorox. One of the next few verses, and we'll fix it. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. I don't want you to vote on that scripture. I still want to let you know that Paul the Apostle was the one who wrote it down. He wrote down what you won't tell us that now we know. I'm not going to leave it unresolved, but I want to tell you that's the reason why Jesus seeks us out. Because the next few words that we can find from this is that we often find it difficult to understand why our desire to do good is not modeled by our behavior. Because I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says, let's see, what sin can I do today and get away with it? But no one will find out what I'm doing. Now, if you're thinking like that, I doubt whether you're saved at all. But here's what it works like. The disconnect between our behavior and our actions often is found in our struggle with the desire for fulfillment. I want to tell you why I do and why you do the things you shouldn't do. There's something in you that is not fulfilled. If it's anxiety, if it's rejection, if it's frustration, we will find something, and it could be something, you know, like a pill or some activity or some relationship that will fill in the missing part. The distraction and desire for things that we have not experienced or appeal to our flesh and curiosity will lead us astray. Like I said, I was a kid. I grew up in the thou shalt not wish you could church. I wasn't allowed to drink, smoke, or chew, or run with those who do. Who was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And we had to stay away from them outlaws like you Baptists. And God help you Presbyterians if we take a little drink now and then. Ooh, Jesus. We've got to stay away from y'all. Bunch of drunkards. I'm just telling you, that's how we felt. And we were so wrong. But let me just help you with this of how it works. Is the sin that dwells within us is often fueled by the desire to identify with a culture and social norms. And there are things you're doing today that 10 years ago you would not do. But the culture has not only convinced you that it's okay, it's not about the okay part, but all of a sudden we want to fit in. So we'll change what we believe God wants us to do. We find ourselves in a strange land. And we don't know how to identify who we are. Well, willpower alone will not keep us from sinning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Put your finger like this in your chest, like this, just like this. And repeat after me. My God will supply everything I need. Say it again. My God will supply everything I need. That confession you just made is a reality. It's not a hopeful thing that will happen. But in the next few moments, we'll come to a place of arrival that Jesus is going to fulfill that. And we'll find out the whole idea about strength. Well, the Word of God is founded upon the promise of the Lord to fulfill everything that we need. And that's the important thing is need and want are not even close. What it means is the Holy Spirit within us will allow us to discover the difference between wants, desires, and needs. I want a new Tesla. Somebody say amen. 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 But Elon Musk gonna have to straighten out his life because the boy's getting a little crazy. But that's another thing. But you know what? I'm happy in riding in my wife's Prius. I don't need, I know some people don't believe that, but that's okay. That girl gets 77 miles to the gallon, okay? If I'm feeling cheap, I'm going to take her car. You mind the garage. Let me get back to the sermon. Okay, here we go. When we pursue things that are beyond our needs, it will result in our wandering. That means this. Our relationship with the Lord is not based on our performance, and the law cannot save us from our sin. That's what Paul's talking about. He says, I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, he finds out this. The law of our flesh will only reveal the sin that is in us. Okay. I'm not going to look over this direction because I know there's a speeder over on that side. I'm going to look over here for you saved folks. They post a speed limit. And it says 70 miles. Matter of fact, I was on the road a couple days ago. And it says 70 miles an hour. That is not a suggestion. Come on now, work with me, folks. If you think it's a suggestion, go 75 and see those blue lights behind you. All of a sudden, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, God, don't let him give me a ticket. Oh, it's too late. Can you read? But all that sign says 70 miles, it reveals a sin in you that says, I can go 75 and he ain't going to catch me. And you know what happens? He may not. But you are in the danger zone that if he does, you have no excuse for what you've done. Amen. Okay, I'm back in the middle now. All that the law does is reveals the sinful nature of who we are. Let me redefine this to the fact that the law of our flesh will only reveal the sin that's in us, and evil is present with us all the time. Got to get to this place so we'll get to a conclusion. When we choose to wander away from the Lord, we are seduced by the desire for fulfillment to ease the pain of discontent. That's really what it is. A lot of times you say, I don't care if I am on a diet. I'm going to have me some cake. Cut me a piece of pie and put some ice cream on it. Because this diet can just sit for a while. I'm just not feeling good. I'm going to make myself feel better. Well, while you're eating the pie, you feel great. But after it's over with, honey, you say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then we say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke every pound. I rebuke every calorie. It shall find not no place upon my body in Jesus' name. You are a lie. Girl, you know how long is it going to take you to get rid of that? 29 miles on a bicycle with a headwind. For those of you who want to know. But the Bible says this. When we choose to wander away, Romans 7:23. I'm almost there. But I see another law in my members. That means in my mind. War against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Your mind knows it, but your members will take you there. Amen. Lord, if you don't want me to go break my leg, help me lose my keys, cause her not to call. I know you pray prayers like that, those stupid prayers. Those are stupid prayers. Stop me. Every sheep. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm almost dead. You guys are happy, I know. Anyway, every sheep counts in the kingdom of God. Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. We're almost there. Okay. What man having 100 sheep, and if he loses one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one, which is till he sees it, finds it. And when he has found it, this again where he rejoices, puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 just persons who need no repentance. What we're leading up to in the few moments is the idea of repentance. And the reason why I put this in there twice is for this reason. There's no greater joy, or there's no greater or less value of sheep as far as that's concerned. But the idea behind it is that God really wants to manifest in us a desire that he really does honestly and truly want us. We're here to the last place, and the word of the Lord will lead us to the right path. Proverbs 14, 17. You thought you weren't going to get a Proverbs. Ha, 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 ha. I saved it till last. There is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. Ever gone down a street that was a dead end? Thought it was a shortcut? I'm going to cut through this neighborhood here. Oh, all this traffic in here. I'm going to cut through this neighborhood here. I'm going to get... Oh. Cul-de-sac. You're quite a cookie. We must be willing to admit that we're on the wrong road. All you men look at me because we're... When it comes to getting directions... We have this intuition that works. We don't need GPS. Oh, yeah, it's over there. I just kind of feel like it's over there. And we will drive 15 miles before we will stop and ask for directions. Yeah, it's over here. I feel like if I just make this corner here and I go up that hill and go around there, it's right over there. You know what they call that? Stupid. Oh, I'm telling them, yes, Lord, yes, Jesus. See, this old guy is kind of watching us make that turn. And we'll go all the way around. We'll come back to that same gas station where we refuse to ask direction. The man's sitting there saying, yeah, I know a lot of people think it's over there. You're not the only fool in this room. You've got some fellowship. But let's look at this real quickly. We must be willing that we're on the wrong road. Our feelings or our emotions are usually what will take us down the wrong path. Our flesh will pursue pleasure and excitement without regard to consequences. Can I help you or help us with consequences? The first thing I need to tell you about consequences is this, and this is what keeps us in the deception. They're not always immediate. You may enjoy the pleasure or the situation for a long while, but I'll tell you what, oh, God hasn't forgotten. The Bible says the pleasure of sin will endure for a season, and he doesn't tell us how long it is. But what do we have to say? Well, we We must be willing to admit that we stray from the truth of the Word of God. We must resist feeling right and admit that we're wrong. And repentance, listen to this, is admitting that we're on the wrong path and going the wrong way. Some people in this room right now need to admit today you're on the wrong path and you're going the wrong way. What about this? Asking the Spirit to guide us in the act of submission to the salvation that was that has been given to us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And thirdly, we must admit our need to receive guidance. As the worship team returns here, I want to give you these three concluding statements that I think will help us all. The mission of Jesus pursuing the lost is Luke 19:10. It says this, and we should know what this is. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When this church was founded 42 years ago, I was sitting in an office over in Southeast Portland. And I said, Lord, every church needs, call it a motto or anchor scripture or whatever. And the Lord took me to the scripture and he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Here we are 42 years later, and that's the same premise, the same thing that will draw you to Jesus today. But we got to do several things. We got to admit our lost condition. We must accept his salvation. Not just a one-time deal. You know, I've been to an altar call before. Oh, I've been to several. I got saved at least 55 times. Lee's been saved at least 100. But I found out there really wasn't, I thought that that was such a wrong thing. Jesus is saving us every day of our life. Because I find things about myself that I thought were okay. Oh, Jesus, he got to work a little deep. I got to let him work a little harder on me. What I think is getting myself reclaimed and resaved is for me admitting the fact there's an area of my life that needs to be surrendered to Jesus. How about that? But the last thing is probably the most profound scripture that we find out that you find. And, you know, it's kind of, I guess it's interesting that the time you hear read the most is at funeral services. Psalm 23. Sheila, can you put that up for me, Psalm 23? I know she's pretty good at this. I didn't tell her this, and if she doesn't get up there, it won't be her fault. I didn't tell her. But I just kind of feel like and we're going to read that because it's the closing for what I'm about to share with you. It'll help you to understand why the Lord is your shepherd and why you shall not want. Because there's a part about him that as a sheep, if we're willing to be led by God, it's going to be something pretty profound. I want everybody to stand. We're going to read this. Everybody stand. Verse 1, the Lord, read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. Next verse, do you have the next verse available for us? Amen. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy. Everybody bow your heads. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we bring all of our wants to you today. Our want for significance, our want to be delivered from the power of sin, our want to feel like we're loved or we're included. Lord, we want to bring those things to you today in hopes of the truth that You're going to cause us to lie down in green pastures. And the thing you're going to want to do, Lord, is you want to restore our soul. There are people standing today with their heads bowed, with their eyes closed, that shame, guilt, and all those things have overtaken them. But they're willing to exchange that for a relationship with you. And Lord, some who have gone through the storm of all their enemies coming against them, Lord, they need to lay down in the green pasture you prepared for them in the presence of their enemies. Lord, anoint their head with oil, let their cup run over. But Lord, bring them to the place where they can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, I break the curse off of people who came through these doors today that were a wandering sheep or that wandered away from the fold. And today, Lord, that they can come back to you. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, I want to pray a prayer at this moment. And then I want to ask for those people that would say, you know, Pastor, I want to be restored to Jesus. The Holy Spirit has been calling me since this message started. I need to respond to Jesus. I need to get it together as far as it's concerned. And I'm willing to say, God, I'm off the path, but I'm coming home. Lord, would you just deliver us from any guilt, from anything we've done, anything we've said? Would you bring us to a place where we're ready to surrender everything to you? Because, Lord, we want to be back in your arms and trust in you. Would you extend both hands in the air right now? Let me pray a blessing over you right now in the name of Jesus. Lift both your hands to him and say, Father, today I know that you're able to do exceedingly above what we ask or think. Lord, your love is so abounding, and Lord, that you would seek after me many times that I've strayed away. I pray that your grace and your mercy would be in my life, and I surrender to you, to the salvation that you brought at Calvary, Lord. It's resonant in my life today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.